morning, we always watch some Christian programming before we come to church, and there was a lady that was talking about a baby that, you know, she befriended the mom. There was a whole big story around it, but when the baby was born, the mom tested positive for meth. The cord for the baby was tested positive for meth, but the baby was born with the cord wrapped around its neck, and they had to do some things to resuscitate the baby. But once they did, the baby was resuscitated, and they tested the baby, and the baby did not test positive for meth. And they believed that the Lord had used that situation to keep the meth away from the baby. And you know, our God cares about the details, and he's a miracle-working God. And the lady that was giving the testimony ended up taking the baby home to her house until the mom could, you know, get her life squared away. But she didn't have to deal with the baby going through withdrawal because God had already taken care of it. So, you know, our God can do great and mighty things. Amen. Anyone else? Don, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
Loving God, loving each each other, making music with my friends, loving God, loving each other, and the story never ends. To tell the old story of Jesus and his
soldier in God's mighty army since many long years ago. And I've been scarred and wounded in battle, and many times I've been brought low. But by the signs of the times, I just realized I've only one more mile to go. Is that the lights of heaven up above? I feel like running my last mile home. Yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. Well, Jesus said when he reached out to save me, I'll go with you all the way. So I stepped out on his precious promise, and he's kept me both night and day. Well, it's been many years, but I still can feel his spirit burning in my soul. It gives me a taste of what lies up ahead. I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. Oh, yes, I feel like running my last mile home. I see a great band of angels around God's throne. Oh, what a great celebration while ages roll on. I feel like running my last mile home. I feel like running. I feel like running. I feel like running. I feel like running. I feel like running my last mile home.
Same one that Don hit. Ah, okay.
That's
good.
That's true, I did.
Okay.
Say you have a stone been in your way so long. A test of faith, a heavy weight that takes away your song. Oh, don't give in. You have a friend. He can move your stone. He alone will help you smile again. You can take the make a giant wall. Bring down stones on Jericho's mighty wall. He can roll away the rock, ceiling of the tomb. Then he can move that stone that troubles you. Sometimes it seems.
And the singer in our church, her mother was in the nursing home. And we'd been going out there for a long time, and she'd bring a little baby and she'd sing. And then I would preach some. That particular morning, I never used a microphone. And that particular morning, she got done singing. I said, look at that microphone there, I'm going to use it. And I started preaching over the microphone, and we were in the dining hall, and the staff was in there, and I saw them go shooting out the door and went down the hallway, and we talked about it. I just kept on preaching a little bit, and we went this other lady in a wheelchair. And the staff told me later, said, she's been here for years, and she never comes out of her room. That she heard that preaching, and she hollered at us and said, get me out of that room, that preaching is going. Years ago, why did I use the microphone that way? I don't know. But this is the way God just told us right here. He'll set it up, he'll take care of the people who are on the path. There was a time when we were at Kmart, or St. Paul's, and this is why. My assistant pastor was there, and there was a boy getting ready to go up to the Michael's register and get his suicide. So his family didn't want anything to do with him, and he just desperately prayed. He prayed with him. When he got done praying, I walked up there, and there was a woman and another person walked up there. Well, that was that boy's mother. They've been separated for years and years and years. And here she showed up on the scene right at that time and found out what had happened to the boy. And I remember listening to what she said. She said, come on in, I'm right, she's loose clothes, and you're going home with us. That's how God can set everything. Folks, there's a lot of people out there, and we know what it's like. We've been there before, and we need to take that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the power of God and the salvation of all. Then they will believe. And I do believe if people are given opportunity, they will believe because folks, people are scared. They're scared. They know something's about to happen. We know this world has changed. It's changed for the worse. Our government is corrupt. Many of them are. And we're living in dark times. But most that's when we're shining Christ.
Yeah.
The darker it gets, the brighter it becomes. Mm-hmm. And he said to let your light so shine, in the see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I told my neighbor the other day, the one that had the back of the tree, I said, if y'all need anything, I said, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, y'all call, I'll tell you we'll be very late.
I'm not getting that.
I definitely have to do that. But all here is if we need to work together, we need to get this place filled up, keep inviting people, and keep letting your light so shine, and tell them what a wonderful pastor there is here. And I'll never forget the guy I worked with. He was went to the church over at Cloudenville, Baptist Church, and he ran the bus bringing people in. And he said there was one woman that said that she was just mean to him. And he didn't try to get her to come to church. She said, I didn't want that church, and that place full of hypocrites. He said, I know it is, but I need some help. I can't take care of them old hypocrites. You know she come to church with him? So folks, just whatever you're about to do, share the gospel, show the love of God, and let's get this place filled up.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sunday school can go. So now he is our resident silver fox. Well, yeah, I wasn't going to go there. If anyone does not have a study Bible or have access to one, we do have them available. I don't mention that enough, but we do have them available. They don't cost you anything. So if you need a study Bible, just let me know, and these will be in your hand. What I wanted to talk about this morning, or at least start talking about, what I wanted to start talking about was the... just a subject that's kind of come up time and again, I think, and came up more this week, that we need to get some balance on and some understanding. We are Church of God. We are Weinbrenner Church of God, let's be specific. So we do try as best we can to follow that doctrine. And I think I do most of the time, except for maybe, you know, a couple of things I may stray a little bit from. But the this one is on the topic of, it's called by different names, but eternal security. Some people call it once in grace, always in grace. And I want you to understand, at least my understanding of the conference's teaching, I believe this is scriptural. I know not everybody is going to agree with me. We've been there before. You have to take the scripture. You have to understand it. You have to apply it yourself. And I'm just going to try to let the scripture do the talking, and we'll see, well, what does it say? Because we have so much of a tendency to pull out this verse, and you know, we got this side over here, and we're using only these verses, and this side over here uses only their verses, and then they say, well, you know, that's not what that means. Okay, what does it mean? Oh, I don't know, but it doesn't mean that. You know, we need to know why we believe and what it is. What does the scripture have to say about it? And the scripture does not contradict itself. Now, sometimes people get tired of history lessons instead of just talking about the Bible. Well, this is one of the reasons we need to understand history around scripture. A lot of times verses are taken out and just taken for a superficial meaning applied to my particular situation. And that's how we create our own God. We create our own religions because we come up with our own ideas, and then we just go and find select scriptures that come close to saying what we believe. We say, see, the Bible says. And I've heard that a lot lately. I mean, that seems to be rampant in the world today. People just saying, you know, this is what the Bible is really about. And it's so far from the truth, predominantly because they haven't taken the time to find out, well, what is the history about it? What is the reason for this letter? Why is he saying these things? What did he say around it? And once we understand those things, we understand the simple scripture. Because you can find a verse that says, I'm going to paraphrase, if you sin, sorry, you lose. You can find a verse that says, I don't care how many times you sin, you'll never lose. Well, the truth is in there, but we need to understand the whole context. I'll get to that later. This verse up here, I'll know not to use these colors again. First one I want to talk about is, how do I know that I'm saved? I've heard different ideas on that. I want to know, well, what does the Bible say about it? And I will pray the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So that's the number one reason how you know that you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit. And I'll say again, we need to get away from our fears of certain expressions that have been abused by different religious groups. And if people come up to you and say, hey, are you baptized in the Spirit? Well, yes, I am. If you're born again, you have to be baptized in the Spirit. Amen. And that Spirit is what lets you know that you have received from him. It's that Spirit that makes a difference. I had mentioned this, I think, Wednesday night. And I went back and looked it up and found out who said it. Well, that's not going to catch up with me, but it's William Lane Craig. It's someone that I tended to read a lot, and I'm kind of getting back into reading some of his stuff. But he's the one who said, how then does the believer know that Christianity is true? He knows because of the self-authenticating witness of God's Spirit who lives within him. I mean, that's bigger than any argument we can raise. We know that we're born again because we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's it. There's another part that goes in with that,
Because how are you saved? Well, we know from Ephesians that Paul said you're saved by faith and not by works. So there's nothing outwardly that you can do to be saved. There are sometimes things that will manifest. And I've heard people say, well, I don't know. If you didn't get excited and shout when you were saved, then you didn't get it. If you didn't, you know, if you didn't experience this or that, then you didn't experience it. And that's true to a point. You often experience things. Now, I don't know that I did. It's been too many years. I don't remember if I did or not. And I've had people say, well, if you experienced it, you would remember it. No, I remember I was saved. I remember where it was. I remember when it was. Not the dates, but I remember about when it was. I've got it written down in the Bible. And the Bible's falling apart, but I still have that page, you know, that it's, I just go to sometimes because I just want to remind myself, hey, on this day, my life was transformed. I was changed from that moment on. And yes, I received in that little Baptist church, it's not little anymore, but back when I went, it was a little Baptist church in our neighborhood, and the preacher scared me to death, and I said, you betcha, I'm going to go down and pray. And I can't remember if I cried then or if I cried over the baptism. I remember I cried at some point, but I was like 10 or 11 years old. And it meant something to me. That didn't mean I was saved, but what was going on the inside meant that I was saved. I did feel a difference. I did know something changed. And that stayed with me the rest of my life. Did I always follow God exactly as I should? No more than you all followed your moms and dads the way that you should. You know, we would get into things that we shouldn't get into. We would do things that we shouldn't be involved in. And we have a tendency to do that. Now, I'm not talking about the ones where you do that and sometime later somebody says, you know that's a sin. Oh, no, I didn't know that. But see, there's another thing that goes on is that there's a lot of times we call things sin that just are not sin. But at the same time, see, we as a church can't keep that over everybody's head. We go around too often and tell people, you know, what you're doing in your life is a sin. Well, should we sit down and go over everything that you're doing in your life that's a sin? There's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody's righteous. None of us had life. We have all been walking around as dead people. And then we receive a new life, and that new life is called the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in us, and he says, he's with you, that's the way it used to be. He was with the Old Testament saints. He was with them. He said, but things are going to change. Day is coming when he's going to be in you. And that's the day we're still living in today. The Holy Spirit, once you accept him, he is in you. Well, what does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? I have all these verses marked. I'm watching the clock. I'm watching the Bible. We have all this within us that convicts us and convinces us that we are saved. And this is things I'll get into in more detail, I promise. But there are times when the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of something that's wrong in your life. And that doesn't mean that you go to somebody else and say, you know that's a sin in your life? No, God's talking to you. Let God deal with that person. You deal with yourself. And we receive that, we hear that Holy Spirit convicting us and letting us know through whatever means, you know, sometimes we feel uncomfortable, sometimes we just plain old feel guilty. And understand that every single time there is an evil spirit who will slip in there and try to push that too far and make you feel condemned. And I know it was already covered some in Sunday school. I was listening to that, and I thought, oh, well, we can do a rerun. And then Cynthia talks about some of it, you know, just. But there is, therefore, now, that is a good now. At this moment, there is right now no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus. So how do we know that we're in Christ Jesus? That's where faith comes in. Again, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, faith is the substance, it's the tangible reality of what we're hoping for. What are we hoping for? Salvation. Deliverance from this world. Citizenship in a new kingdom. That's our hope. Okay, we're not walking streets of gold right now. Or I'm not. We don't walk streets of gold, but I believe the day is going to come. You know, and then you can get into, well, I don't really think it's literal gold. I don't care what you think on that. That's what we're talking about right now. It doesn't matter if it's real gold or if it's symbolism. We just know that that new city that we're going to is going to be far greater than anything we've experienced here. And I hear people, and it's nice, it's poetic. They talk about going through that city and seeing all the sights and the gates and all that. Yeah, I don't think we're going to really be worried about that when we get there. He said we can't even begin to imagine what waits for us. We don't know. We see what the prophets have written about, but we just know that it is so grand, so huge, so different, we can't even imagine it. And I have a very good imagination, but we can't imagine what that's going to be like. So we have been given the Holy Spirit, and he says that Holy Spirit isn't just to cleanse you, to give you that new birth. It is something called a seal. And here's where the history comes in a little bit. What does he mean by a seal? Wrong kind of seal. So we need to understand a little bit about the history and the times. Well, then a seal was what anything from just a wealthy, important person to the emperor. If there were certain documents, they had different seals that they would seal with it, which meant they melted wax over it, and then they put their seal on it, which meant, I have endorsed this, I have caused this to be. And if anybody who is not authorized breaks that seal, then it's death to that person. I would not have wanted to be the mailman then. But that's what a seal is. And he says, the Holy Spirit is your seal. In other words, it's God's stamp of approval on your life. Even the way I'm living it now, yes. It's God's stamp of approval on your life, and it cannot be broken. We need to establish that up front. It simply cannot be broken. We're already past lunchtime, so we'll get back into this. And what I have here is some brief notes. You all get these. And this morning's is on eternal security. And then I just thought, well, we'll just do the flip side next time. And this is on three strikes and you're out, one strike and you're out. No, it's the opposing arguments to eternal security. And we'll look at those and compare them and put them together and understand what's really being said in these verses. But just by what I've said this morning, I hope I've set a direction in your minds as to where this is going to lead. You know, I will let the scripture talk. I won't talk about it anymore. We're going to try something different. I just talked to a couple of people about it, and it seemed good. But I'm going to talk about things, you know, I'm going to have the message for Sunday mornings. Then on Wednesday nights when we come together, instead of me having something else to talk about, we're going to talk about that. We're going, as a group, we're going to discuss it. Okay, well,
what about what he said Sunday morning? And we'll, you know, bring up the verses and whatever, however we need to do, but we'll
discuss it. And that whole purpose behind that is you might catch a little bit here.
you might get confused here.
Well, Wednesday night's a good time to come, and let's talk about it, and let's work out the details. So
that's
what we're going to start doing. Tina. See, I always know, regardless of the temperature outside, I know that spring is tomorrow. It's Tina's birthday.
Book 11, page 22.